At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Imped Adventures Podcast on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Help the network out by leaving us a 5-star review, give a donation directly through Red Circle, and become one of the amazing community by joining the Social Suplex Discord. Link is in the description. Listen to the other top-notch shows here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, One Nation Radio, Keeping It Strong Style, All Things Elite, Wrestling Art with Chris Things, Trish and Sarah, Tunnel Talk, and Sam Brown's AEW Match Guide. My name is Matt Mayer, a.k.a. Imp. This is your quick look back at the WWE week that was 30 minutes of the new year, of the new era of WWE and AEW, both on streaming. It's time for the return of Imp's Adventures. Finally, it feels like I've been gone for so long, when it's just been the Christmas period. It took me like 2 or 3 tries to read through the intro, because my God, I felt so rusty. Anyway, we have got a unique show this week. I considered, because I wasn't going to be doing the SmackDown before the Netflix era properly began, even though me in the UK, I could have watched it on Netflix. But no, I was like, okay, January 6th, I'll watch the Raw show and we'll do a big special, like specifically about the Raw show. I have watched NXT. I decided against covering it. I was like, I dropped it for a reason from this original format. It just allows me a bit more time to talk about Raw. So the entirety of this show is going to be about the Raw show from California. There's a few other things to pass as well. Our merch over at chopped-tees.com. If you go over there, then all of the different shows here on the podcast network all have their merch up there, including the main Social Suplex merch itself. Also, it'd been a while, but a big shout out to Tunnel Talk for their interview with the Young Bucks. It didn't get too horny. Congrats, girls. He only asked Matt Jackson if he could take his shirt off once. Like, congrats. Congrats. And the other note is that in terms of my writing of the review, did it air the day of New Year's Dash, I think, from New Japan Pro Wrestling? Oh, it's always like a talking point. You tune into Monday Night Raw after watching Wrestle Kingdom, and dear God, that whiplash was strong. That was a genuine thing. This year was so massively different to that normal feeling, just because it was a massive week for WWE. They put a lot of importance on this show from the debut on Netflix. All the executives were there. It felt like a very ucky executive show, but they put a lot of importance onto it. So it wasn't like your typical kind of whiplash feeling, just because there was this, it more felt like a huge week. Because the week prior, AEW had debuted on HBO Max, which doesn't exist in the UK. The company that owns the Harry Potter property, their streaming service doesn't exist in the UK, of all countries. That makes no sense to me. That's so strange. But this year we had the Wrestle Kingdom, then we had AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling Dynasty Show, both on the Tokyo Dome, so we got to see some excellent wrestling. Nottingham represented by Gabe Kidd, doing an amazing job in the penultimate match of the night. But it meant that the whiplash coming in to WWE was entirely different, because the show that they were putting on was full on look at us, big corporate energy throughout the show. So much thanking of Netflix. Well, thank you, Netflix, for letting us be on your platform with all the big boys. Thank you so much, Netflix. But yeah, there's a lot of corporate uckiness for this episode of Monday Night Raw. It felt like they were showcasing to new fans the way to bring it in. All hype, all massive, big lights, flashy things, flying drones, meow. All of the possible effects for an arena show. The arena that they chose, absolutely perfect. Anyway, that's enough pre-rambling. Let's jump on over to Monday Night Raw, live on Netflix from Los Angeles, California.
And ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to say, for the first time ever, welcome to Monday Night Raw. Live on Netflix!
immediately. I did love the seats being fitted with their little lights. It reminded me of AW Revolution 2019 wristband stuff. However, they then left the lights on doing stuff during the matches. And I realised, we've seen that the way WWE likes to shoot stuff, during the matches it became too busy. During the opening of the show where there's like so many flashing lights and explosions and the drones flying all over the place, the Netflix mandate to do something big to grab people's attention, the big curtain that was downplaying the video, it was a lot. And I realised, like, if you were to like pause during one of the camera shots, it's like, it does seem like a lot. Because that's the other thing is, the part of the New Japan Whiplash I didn't talk about is their camera work is so immaculate and so impressive at capturing the sport of wrestling. Their camera work really emphasises what's going on inside the ring. WWE's camera work is more about emphasising how great the person in the ring looks, which for the men means that they'll do their moves and they'll pose and go, yeah! But they'll do their move and slam and go, look at me! Kind of showman style. That's how I interpret the showmanistic kind of style of it. And for the women, it sometimes means that they get an up the arse shot. WWE's got so much better at not giving us those shots. Because it really hit me when I was watching New Japan. I was like, oh, the solution is really easy. During Mercedes Monet match and like she's down on the mat, I am so used to that camera shot being like a little further back so you can see the entire body. But New Japan for Wrestling showed me there's a way better way to avoid that happening. Mercedes on the like right side of the screen and the opponent on the left, and the camera shot ended at the end of her lower back, which is kind of where the shot ended. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's because their focus is the sport. That's what the focus is. That's not the main focus of WWE production. it just massively hit me there. It's like, oh yeah. That's exactly how you do it. If the purpose of it is capturing the sport, then your camera angles will do that. If the purpose of it is showing off the athletic body of the person, then you'll set up the camera work for that as well. Like, everything is filmed purposely like for a reason. And AEW's copied so many of WWE's productions when in my head I look at this and I go, they should copy New Japan. WWE's the wrong promotion. I guess they're thinking American audience is used to a specific way of production, so don't push too far from the other way. It's like, oh, it's a shame. New Japan's cinematography is so good, because I'm not looking at that thing going, oh, she's got a cracking ass. I'm looking at it thinking about the competition. Because cinematography is talking about the competition. WWE cinematography is talking about people's asses. I mean, maybe there's a better way to explain it. WWE cinematography is horny. It just hit me. Anyway, the reason I jumped onto that was because these shots were so busy at the start, which was fine for the start when you're Netflix and you've got that mandate, you've got to grab people's attention right at the start. Yeah, you've got drones flying all over the place, you've got your really impressive shots sort of moving around, the curtains down showing the video. And I thought the video was amazingly done, mostly because the whole point of the video is to explain to people new to wrestling what WWE is. They tripped up throughout the show in doing that, but I thought this video here set up a really good tone. I thought this video is exactly how you introduce what WWE is to a new audience, just establishing the past. So I don't mean like the intricacies of what WWE is. I'm talking about broad strokes. How do you deliver that into such a quick, succinct and believable, and make it succinct and understandable? And I thought this video package did that amazingly. And then to get your hypes as well for the curtain to drop. And of course it's Triple H. Who else is going to be the first person in the ring? Of course it's Triple H. They're purposely making him related to the product. Also, to show what this show was really about and who it's really aimed at, Cole introduced with the promise of A-list celebrities. Well, wrestlers too. Sure, there'd be some wrestling. Yeah, sure. Like 90 minutes into the show, you maybe would have had two matches. I feel like that's a bit mean because the Roman and Solo Sikoa match got quite a lot of time. Got about half an hour. But yeah, so we could get the big edited VTR. Trips was in the ring, sponsored by Fortnite. That's the other thing. Immediately it hits you, the curtain drops, and it's now a black mat with advertisements. You've got your big advertisement in the middle, and then maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Maybe 9 different advertisements scattered around the ring, maybe less than that. Which means it's a much busier mat, but weirdly, I didn't mind it. Maybe it's because there was so much lighting-wise going on in the crowd area that was so busy that the mat wasn't as busy in comparison, or it's just something that you very quickly get used to. The one thing I do agree with is you've got to be very careful with what logos you choose to not draw the eye too much. Fortnite's great because it's literally just a word written in white. Hogan's beer was a bit more of an issue just because of the colours it had on it. But again, they're a sponsor, they pay money, they get what they want, right? But in this moment, I thought the lighting was absolutely fine for what they're going for. The whole point of this establishing 20 minutes with Triple H and then with The Rock was to be this big grand spectacle with all the lights and everything. All of the production. Not saying all of the best production, I'm saying all of the production. Do all of it. It definitely had the most production. But that's why I was perfectly fine with it. Like, in terms of what they were trying to do, in terms of what they're trying to set up and establish, I thought these 20 minutes I thought it did a pretty good job, especially for a new audience. Because this is a very unique thing for WWE, where it's not one of those where you go, ah, there might be quite a few new people watching, so you do this and that. It's like, no, guaranteed there will be a lot of new people watching for the first time. So you really do have to set up what that means. In terms of, like, what did The Rock actually say when he came out? Yes, The Rock coming out. We've got The Rock. Please stay around when it's The Miz versus Otis. We've got Dwayne Johnson. Look at all these celebrities. Hooray, hooray. Look at all of this stuff. We've got a women's tournament next week. If you want to stick around for that. Oh, look, it's Seth Green. Amazing. But those drone panning shots, in terms of, like, establishing on the show, it's a level of production which is just, it's on such another level to anything else any other wrestling company going to be able to do. Like, I'm not expecting this every week, but, you know, they're on Netflix money. They could do it. But for me, it fed into this specific show. I wouldn't want these kind of shots every single week. I did like the idea of a more 360 feel to the production rather than it being stuck and flat. Look, mostly because I like to be as far away from the flat cacophony of the Dunn era as possible. So yeah, getting a big drone shot which kind of adds to the feeling like a circle rather than a flat square. Like you are in the arena a lot more. I feel like that said, that it's something that fits that arena. I don't know if I want that every single week. It also fit those first 20 minutes. I don't know if I want that during my matches. Because at that point, I'm not paying any attention to the match. You can use it as your maybe establishing returning from ad break kind of thing. But yeah, so overall, fan of the production, but only really for the first 20 minutes. After that, I start to have a bit of gripes because it does actually take away from the matches themselves. Or there's just too much busy work going on. Also, what also didn't help, the matches were just fine. It was a show that was never about the matches. The main event, easily the best one, but it's a show that is especially meant to introduce new people to the world of wrestling, the world of WWE. So first off, what did The Rock actually say? Rambling bollocks congratulating the crowd for breaking WWE's arena record with the dynamic pricing fucking their fans over. Congratulations, you're poor now. Congratulations. We got a lot of thank yous to the Netflix era. That's the kind of corporate uckiness that I was just oozing throughout this show as well. Almost feeling like a show that wasn't for us, which is why there was so much flashy production. Because the flashy production wasn't for us, the person to actually enjoy the product more. It was more to show off to the executives the level of show on production that they've invested in and are going to be getting to make them happy. And look at them, they were happy. They were having a good time. More importantly, The Rock got to say the word bullshit with no sound cut. I don't know if that's because I was watching it live, and I'm not going to be watching these shows live. I was in the Discord for Social Suplex whilst this was live, and every single time I watch Raw live, I am taught, do not watch Raw live. The viewing experience is horrifically bad. But I'll get to kind of the format, how that works a little bit later. Oh, that was the point to get to, yeah. He said bullshit, but when I watched the NXT show and The Rock was also swearing at the end of that, all of his swears were cut out. So all of the swears were muted. The other controversial bit, I guess, of The Rock's promo was him congratulating Cody Rhodes for carrying the company on his back with smiles between all and everything. I guess that set up Cody being there in the arena for later when Cody interferes. Spoilers. I mean, he got all the bells and whistles, the Tribal Combat match. So I was like, if you weren't expecting a Cody interference then. Which brings me to my first, in terms of like the match order things, if the whole point of the show is to introduce people new to wrestling, what is this? How does this work? Maybe you don't put the Tribal Combat rules first, because then when they're saying, oh, like, or anything goes, this is all legal, this match, people don't know what is legal. They've not seen a match. Their very first match is a no rules match, but they don't know what any of the rules are, so they don't know what rules they would be breaking if this was a no DQ, so they don't know what makes it special. Could easily have swapped this and the closing match around, just so people know what a match feels like before you then give them a no disqualification match. They would have gotten it by the end of the night, just because they saw successive actual matches. So it's not like it's information they can't take for next week. They did get that information. But it did hit me. Like, as a new viewer, you don't know what the rules are, and immediately you're thrown into a no DQ match. It's like, well, I don't know. But of course, if you've got to open with The Rock, or if The Rock is insistent that he's the one who comes out and he's the one who schmozzes with the Netflix execs and everything, like, if you've got to do all that, then I guess the Roman and Solo match is also linked to it, as they immediately come out and then The Rock has his moment with Roman at the end as well. This is where I might as well talk about it. Yeah, my UK ass got a Solo versus Roman hype package. Like, suck it, America. Europe rules. When you got advertisements, when you say got a hype package for this match, the mid-match ad break for us went to black and then immediately returned to the match as well. Cole and Pat continuing on and all, like, yes, my AEW format. After this match ended, we even got a Jackie Redmond in the crowd with a New Day moaning about not being on the show. They ended a segment later for those Americans where they were saying, oh, you finally got a thing on the show. But for me, it was weird because my European feed, I got the New Day earlier. I was like, oh, I quite like these. We also got The Miz with Karrion Kross as well, standing in the crowd giving a little interview. What worried me a little bit was on the NXT feed, when it was then time for adverts, they had nothing. They just went to a graphic of, we're back shortly. Sometimes they'd have clips playing of the wrestler who's going to be coming up. Okay, fine. That's a bit of a shame. But I did like how they did it on Raw, which again just added to the kind of special atmosphere they were trying to create for this show. Because this show was all spectacle and very little substance. Very, very spectacly. The most spectacle I think I've seen from a WWE telly show. Tribal combat means no rules, cried Pat, as the two brawled all over the announce table, Lawless solo just launching the steps at Roman. This match kind of just worked as an introduction to, like, all of the weapons and known spots for new fans. Like, there was the concerto, kendo sticks, we want tables, like, it was all there. Even the mid-match Roman monologues made their appearance. Roman's powerbomb Sokoa off the corner through a table, a spot that called the interferences. Tama Tonga pulled the ref out to break the pin. Jacob Fatu charged in as the difference maker he is. Roman kicked out after the spike at two, and the referee was the one to eat the man's anger. A nice unexpected mirroring as Sami Zayn and Jey Uso's interferences to make up the odds, finishing solo also kicking out. The crowd ate all of it up, popping so big for Kevin Owens in the final flow. I did like Kevin Owens felt like a new introduction. He's the one thing that made this feel like, oh, this is a different beat to what we're used to. We set up our biggest pop, reserved for our champion Cody, brawling out into the crowd with KO and leaving Solo and Roman finally in the ring alone. A nice ducking of the Samoan spike into a rebound spear, ending in a final charge with the crowd on their feet having a whale of a time. I mean, for me, the match was fine, but I saw the purpose in it. This was a very good introduction in a basic level into how do these no disqualification matches work. Like, yeah, you got to see every single beat that normal fans would be entirely used to. And the modern WWE fans, they'll just cheer for everything. They just want to see the things. Which feeds later into a, in, when they absolutely reject something later in the show. Then, finally, The Rock walked on back out, closing the first hour with the first meeting between he and Roman since WrestleMania, telling Heyman to give him the Ulafala, taking it and putting it around Roman. A little stare down, but then nothing happens. The camera purposely set up so that it doesn't have The Rock in the picture. It's like, oh, he's teasing a thing, but no, nothing happens. He just kind of stands and applause. Almost felt like The Rock wasn't in character for the entire night. NXT, his thing at the end was also the same. Like, any storylines they'd set up, anything with Cody or whatever from WrestleMania, setting up the greatest villain of all time. Yeah, that seems to have just, bloop, that's gone. Maybe, like, Red 1 flopped so badly that he needs to correct his ego a bit. And he's like, oh, I want people to cheer me. I want people to say that they like me. So, okay, fine. Whatever. Roman got to lift his one in the air and soak it all in.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate. Which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, StarKist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We then move on to Wabadoo. His name is John Cena and he's here to say goodbye. The retirement tour begins, thanking Netflix like Rocky did earlier. It's like, oh, so much corporate, ugh. Kicking off the second hour with a very similar pattern. Legend guy comes out, who's currently in Hollywood, that all the execs can fawn over, and he then applauds all the execs and says, this isn't for us. Just keep telling myself, it's fine. They're doing this show for the executives. Cena reminisced about his wrestling start in LA, hitting on the first notes ahead of this final run. But who will he be lacing up his sneakers to face? Laying down the notes for a possible Rumble win amid the rumours of putting over Cody being his last hurrah, with the other potential, I guess. If you don't want the spoilers for the Road to WrestleMania, I don't think the Social Suplex Network is that kind of audience, but I'll give you the opportunity to skip ahead 20 seconds. from now. But yeah, the Logan Paul is apparently the thought of possible opponent there. It's a possibility. So yeah, I took too long to get into it, so my 20 seconds are getting a bit close. So oops. We'll talk about more about that later. Cena then hyping himself up, being like, oh, I want one last opportunity at that title. I want to become the 16-time champion. Like, but to do it, I know I'm so far away. To do it, I know I need to win the Elimination Chamber, or I'll become Mr. Money in the Bank. Or maybe, perhaps, no. But if I did, but the fact that it might happen. Hyping himself up to possibly win the Royal Rumble. Announcing himself for the Royal Rumble event. We also did get another Royal Rumble announcement. I'll jump down to it because I put it into my other notes that I've got, but it's relevant here. The 2026 Royal Rumble got announced for Saudi Arabia and got booed. I thought it would be the most rejected thing of the night. I was wrong. Something else later on got way bigger boos. The Women's World Championship, Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. Nice to finally see this come to an end and it's over and we can move on with our lives. Hopefully Becky Lynch comes back next week, if not next week, the week after, like soon, please. So they can do Ripley versus Lynch again, just with this time hopefully not both of them getting injured. So we can have a little bit of a flow after. This Liv Morgan storyline is like, oh, it annoys me a bit just because I feel like Liv Morgan as a performer has improved so much that she's got so much more to offer. But this character just gave her very little opportunity to actually do that. And whenever she very rarely did have a wrestle. And even if you personally don't rate Liv Morgan that highly, they've got other wrestlers that are very well, could put on a great match, like Io Sky. When they finally gave her the opportunity, but yeah, it was still like a perfectly enjoyable 3-star match. But her reign wasn't even getting them. So to actually get just a standard defense of her championship, that was absolutely fine. That felt like a cool, this is what her reign needed. It's just stuff like this. I don't need it to be exceptional just to see her defend her title. But yeah, this, it's one of those that felt like we were just waiting for Rhea Ripley to come back. We were just waiting for Ripley. I thought the change happened at SummerSlam. Maybe thankful it didn't, just because there was like more injuries to come for Ripley. But now we're finally at a point where we're going to WrestleMania. We're going to do the big match for Ripley. I do think that the performer can offer more. I was never with this character. Over the course of summer, I was so negative on what they were doing with it. When she became champion, I was like, okay, at least you can take it to the next gear at least. But they just never really allowed her to. You had the twist where Dom joined her. But well, she's a performer, never really got to take anything to the next level. And the character technically had a few changes as she kept her reign going. It's one of those where the commentators were telling us we have to be impressed because she's kept the title more than what she actually did with her matches. That's when it happens a lot in WWE. They have a chicken shit heel champion. But then when they've held it for a while, I was like, I've got to respect them. They've held it for a while. I was like, do I? Why would I respect them? You've actively told me to not respect them every week. Why should I respect them now? But this is where we got to 90 minutes in, and it was only our second match on the show. Again, this wasn't a wrestling show. This was a spectacle show. Also felt like this was where the crowd decided to have a little energy recoup. Ripley's info card was almost specifically about her losses to Morgan. They even had a very specific graphic about her two losses to Liv. You know what that means. Liv won flows with the ringside numbers game. Ripley won with her brute force power. The Riptide was straight up kicked out of. Then Ripley did the same later on to the Oblivion onto a chair. Sorry, Oblivion onto a steel goddamn chair. This is a spectacle show. Did it wrong. Liv's little Eddie Three Amigos and Frog Splash got a grand reaction from the crowd. Did its job in getting the crowd clapping for Ripley to slam the lass. Riptide after Riptide, and thank you, this feud is finally over. Ripley finally became champion again, with Cole calling about putting the rocket ship on her back to build Raw upon. Commentary gave a lot of weight to her win, but the crowd were just a bit flat for the match, obviously cheering for Ripley afterwards. She's an entertainer with so much presence when she's on screen, so and bringing back Becky Lynch relatively soon might be a good way just to kind of keep her momentum going. After the match, Dom Dom got into the ring, asking for a hug, and instead getting a swift kick down under and Riptide to take him home. Awkward commentary trying to be funny in the aftermath. It's like, hey, keep this off the spectacle show. Mammy's always on top. Gong. He's an American badass. Vroom, vroom. Off he comes, driving down. He went round the ring, and then I was like, okay, cool, back round again. So yeah. Yeah, he wasn't the Trump-affiliated guy who he got booed. still waiting for that to appear on my notes. But yeah, this match, it felt a lot like the Saturday Night's main event match with Io Sky. In terms of just like the gears it was kicking up to, and then it kind of just ends in a way. Like, it wasn't awful or anything. It was just okay, and then it did the thing it needed to do. And maybe that's what's elevating it in my head. Ripley actually winning, has hopefully moving on from all of this. Maybe that's in my mind, making me think it's a bigger deal than it actually was. Yeah, Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre. Uso got a massive entrance, walked to the ring by Travis Scott. Scott smoking on his way down with the man, like, Netflix era, baby! Like, even if the laws of California allow this, they would normally not have that happen on the television, but Netflix era, who gives a shit? It's all sort of like, The Rock can say bullshit and it doesn't get bleeped. It's like, lean into it, WWE. Lean into it. Also, Jey Uso is the perfectly correct entrance to film the arena with drones flying around, giving us, again, that level of production that no one else is going to be able to match. This show, for me, really felt like how it does to watch a WWE pay-per-view. We've got your matches, but there's a lot of time killing. Like, between your matches, you've got 15-20 minutes of nothing, of time-wasting, of bullshit. If you're somebody who likes entrances, you're going to get a lot of them. But this match for Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre was an opportunity for some actual wrestling for a minute, in a nice change of pace from the string of advertisement breaks whilst waiting for the lads to get to the ring. The crowd seemingly in quiet, polite clapping mode as well. It's almost like they'd seen what they wanted to. They came here now for the A-list celebrities and the big pops and moments, and they were now just ready for the main event. But they weren't really giving much to this. Like, the match was also, for me, it was fine as well. It was another one that was absolutely okay. I did like them slowing right down to snap into a sudden pace of a rebound Claymore spot. As I was watching it, I was almost like, is one of them been like knocked and I've not noticed it? I don't mind the 5 seconds of, 5-10 seconds of, oh, this is like unusually slow. But you were doing it in that specific moment just to kick off into a Claymore. If you're doing it for a reason, it's fine. If you're doing it because that's the flow of it all, then I'm starting to have a problem, Jay. Starting to have a problem. A match that bubbled into nowhere with a quiet crowd that seemed as tired as I was halfway across the world with my little electric heater and a tortilla with chocolate spread on it. Hey, it was 3 a.m. Who cares? At that point, it's fuck it. I'm having a tortilla with chocolate spread on it. Yeah, and then the bloody thing ended in a sudden roll-up. Oh, that's actually a really good pun for my rolled-up tortilla. Anyway, didn't mean it at all. This match wasn't my jam at all. For me, this was full throttle Wrestle Kingdom Whiplash. Properly the level of wrestling I'd seen that weekend, and then he put this on in front of me. My mind's going to nothing. It's going to blank out. There's nothing for me to latch onto. I latched onto them slowing it so far down that I noticed it would become unusually slow. All the drone shots in the world can't hide that. Anyway, that does take me to the main event, a main event that couldn't have come soon enough. The pacing of this show drained me. Then the entrances feel long, have an ad break in between them, then Cole does an ad read when we return. Like, thanks, I hate it. It was nice to get a match more up my street, though. Punk's graphic reminded us that this was his first match since Raw in 2011, but he left in January 2014. I don't even need to check to know that's wrong. Like, what the fuck? What even was that stat? The match quietly broke down to the outside, clobbering about until, not the axe handle, finally brought them back into the ring to do their big swinging neckbreaker spot off the top for the ad break lead-in. And I fear I got to watch them walk and occasionally punch each other for a few minutes rather than watching the ad breaks. Ah, the genuine AEW feel. The final 5 minutes kicked off with Punk taking his own GTS move to the noggin. I thought Seth Rollins delivered it well, and I guess technically anyway that means that CM Punk took it well too. Punk rolling and crashing to the outside. Serenaded by Seth Rollins' song. That was a really nice touch. He gets hit by the GTS and it's immediately his song they're singing. That was a really good kind of folding back of the rest of deliver one thing and then the crowd give him something back and they could feed off it. I thought it was really good. More of inside walk and talk. As a European viewer, I'd had enough of this. Eventually clambering onto the announce desk for a pedigree spot. Ah, me knee. Back into the ring for a second pedigree. Ah, me knee, lads. And a near fall. Dueling chants for the two as Seth started dealing closed fists. He'd get booed in Japan. Saw it from Ricky. The stomp by the ropes got the biggest cheer of the match to that point and sent us into our first technical overrun. But that doesn't matter anymore. The internet. Hooray. The superplex into the Falcon Arrow reversed really neatly into the GTS. Seth collapsing onto the man's shoulders for another. But sure, if you ask him for more. Rollins somehow got cut on the head during that, Punk looking all hurt and tired. I've seen a few people like argue that they thought Seth Rollins winning was a better idea. I think it's just because they're in on this story of Seth Rollins becoming so affected by CM Punk, just like Drew McIntyre did, so that they can then do a different reflection. Maybe Seth Rollins take a different character route. I felt like they were so far into that CM Punk was always winning this, because that's the story that they're kind of buried into at the moment. Best match of the show, but it didn't like blow me away or anything. But I'm 100% certain it's part of the Wrestle Kingdom whiplash that the WWE style is just going to struggle. It's like, don't watch the Saturday Night Live film right after watching Birdman. Like, the Saturday Night Live film, I absolutely loved it. Absolutely. Had a great time. A whale of time with that film. However, if you watch Birdman first, that is the one film which will make it seem incredibly inferior. So that's all. Don't watch Birdman before you watch Saturday Night Live film. And don't watch Wrestle Kingdom before you watch Raw. They massively, one is so far superior within the same genre in terms of like the level of matches that it's delivering that it's gonna take away from the experience. Both good films. Speaking of SNL, into my other notes with celebrities. Michael Che, I know that one. I also know Wale. I also know the wrestlers. Oh, look at all these people I know. Like Rey Mysterio, LA Knight, Bianca Belair, Naomi, X-Pac. Women to go to X-Pac. Stop going back to X-Pac. She's getting like a mole. That's who we have the graphic for. Almost like the camera's just drawn to him. Just can't not. Certainly a unique party of Bianca Belair, Naomi, X-Pac and Shinsuke Nakamura. Like, what do they talk about? What does that group say? Penta was, well, at first when I wrote this, I thought that Penta had been bumped for next week, but apparently he wasn't on the cards for this week. Same with Becky Lynch, was not there. Becky Lynch was not planned. It wasn't like a sudden shift of Undertaker. She was not booked for the show. But Penta is now going to be Chad Gable's mystery luchador opponent for next week. Sorry, I mean, who knows who's going to be the mystery opponent for Chad Gable next week is a mystery. The American out to prove he doesn't actually have a problem with foreigners. that's the story, right? That's the interpretation I got for it. Poor Chad. Right, here we go. Hulk Hogan booed out of the building, massively so, in front of a WWE crowd that will cheer for anything, that's just happy to see the things. CM Punk can't do a heel interference because they're just too happy to see CM Punk. Him just being there, they're happy to see. It doesn't matter. They're just there to cheer anything and have a good time. Even they booed Hulk Hogan out of the building. I just felt as I'm watching it that the production truck was really struggling to find those sound pockets of cheers because there weren't many. It was that big of a boo. It was another legend just coming out, putting over Netflix, but sunny California were having none of him. And then the whole point of him coming out from his point of view was to plug his beer. European feeds, they've got a new thing where they actually mute the audio when they're talking about an ad read. I'll get to that actually. Let's talk about the ads kind of in general in terms of how they, as a European, take away from the show. Like, I'll never get used to the amount of breaks on a WWE show or just WWE, or sorry, just American television in general. Watching Raw, it's too much. Constantly, they'll come back for 1 minute and then off they go again. It's like, Jesus Christ. It's the one thing we're going to expect. Not only is there advertising everywhere when you're just looking at the wrestling, but we are having constant ad breaks. Just expect lots of advertisements, especially the ad breaks. Well, even if I don't get the ads, because I'm in Europe, I get the breaks. The show is live and is still taking breaks from the action. I can't avoid that. Like, ads between segments as usual. Yeah, that's fine. Ads mid-match is also somewhat commonplace. But now we also get ads in between entrances, ads after 1 minute of action. Like, it's just too much. It's just too many breaks. Another new thing for me to get used to is the commentary just suddenly going silent as the ad reads don't go out to Europe. So it's happened multiple times throughout the show when they start plugging their thing, and don't forget to get your insurance from, and then I would just lose audio, or it would come back from the break and it's doing a panning shot of the arena. The big wide shot, the big establishing shot. And it's just silent. It's just, they've got crowd noise, they've got the music playing. There's no commentary. And it's just continuing the shot. I was like, I've watched enough WWE to know there would be a graphic on screen. And that's why they've done this establishing shot. So they could put the graphic of the advertiser over the top of it. I'm sitting there with silence. There's nothing. It's also really awkward where sometimes they did it for stuff WWE themselves were plugging. Like, we didn't get the advertisement for the Saudi Royal Rumble thing. For us, it was like when it was verbally announced by Cole as like part of the production flow of the in-between segment linking. That's when we got it. We didn't get a video. Also, my final note. Never watch WWE telly live. I made an exception for this one, but it's not recommended. Just don't do it. Don't fall for it. Don't do it. It's a horrendous experience. Every time. I did enjoy being in the Discord chat over on Social Suplex for the WWE like live spoilers section, talking about this with all different people that were there. That made it a lot more bearable. So whoever was in there chatting, that really did help in the middle of the night, just enduring a wrestling show rather than watching it. Yeah, that was my thing. It wasn't a wrestling show. You're going to get that with Dynamite. Or you got that with Dynamite. By the time I'm recording this before Dynamite's happened. You get that with Dynamite. With this show, this was just a spectacle of a production budget. Yeah, it was absolutely fine. It wasn't for me. As in, I don't mean that in terms of critique opinion. I mean that in terms of the audience they were aiming it at. I wasn't in that audience. This was more like, it felt like an ucky executive show. But they just kind of oozed it as I was watching it. And it felt like the spectacle of it was for them. So there's a lot of stuff in there that I'm not expecting to see going forwards. Like, I don't know if we're going to get those drone shots all the time, even though I do like the idea of trying to turn it into a 360 production. because no other company is going to be able to keep up with that. It's not possible. It's not feasible. So I like the idea of WWE having a kind of production that no one else is going to be having. But after watching the NXT show, there's very evidently room for them to not do a whole bunch of things, like the interviews with the wrestlers out in the crowd, where I really enjoyed getting those, especially knowing that Americans weren't getting them, because they're the stuff that's going out worldwide. You're technically actually hitting a bigger audience, so it's quite a big deal to get those spots in a way. I don't know what to expect next week. I feel like we're going to see a gradual drop-off, and then episodes 3 or 4 will be what we're used to. But yeah, NXT did give me a little bit of, oh, there's room here for us to get nothing and for it to just go to a screen saying, we'll be back soon, and then that's your lot. Prefer it if it wasn't. But yeah, that's a Raw review. It wasn't wrestling, it was a spectacle. So this time next week, I'll be talking about SmackDown and Raw, so back to the usual format. This time, the first time we're having both of them, when we're closer to the Royal Rumble, or maybe even like when we've actually just done the Royal Rumble, we've had the first like pay-per-view cycle. When that's happened, maybe we'll have like a bigger feel of what it's actually going to be like in this era. But yeah, Triple H said the Netflix era has begun. And just, I want to call it the streaming era, just because for wrestling as a whole, the big move has happened. Yes, AEW is both on HBO Max and on TV, but like, them both being available on streaming services, like, it's a huge change. Like, for me, the ratings talk has died, but it also died when I moved to Blue Sky, so it's not there. It's not been there for a while for me anyway. I like being on Blue Sky away from all that stuff. So yeah, a lot of it I don't see. I mean, I'm still getting people screenshotting Twitter and posting it on Blue Sky. Don't do that. I left for a reason. Don't do that. Anyway, with that, for the first time this year, I say thank you for liking, engaging in any form, any manner. Always appreciated, never take it for granted. 5-star reviewing, that's one I'm forgetting. I always forget to plug that one. Give the podcast a... Ever give my podcast a 5-star review. I've got a unique feed now, finally, that I can plug for that as well. But also, there's the Social Suplex. If you give the 5 stars, it helps everybody. Hugely thank you to anyone who does that. I'll be back this time next week to talk about Monday Night Raw and Friday Night Smackers. So with that, I bid you adieu. Adios.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.